we'll see you over here. Whoops. As we've been experiencing trials in the church, I thought I'd speak about that today. I've titled it, Loving God During Trials, which sometimes may be difficult. Not many lives are trouble-free, as we all experience daily. When we tend to rely on self-help, things appear to get worse. Then comes the challenge, do we continue to love and trust God under trials? Does our belief in Him to intervene for us fade? Sometimes it helps to use the lens of the New Testament scriptures to see more clearly how to handle trials that question how we view the credibility of God's word. Is all that He says relevant to everyday situations? Today we will look at a section of scripture in the book of James. If you would please turn to James 1, and we will refer to verses 12 to 18. James 1 and verses 12 to 18. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. From this we know that problems and trials will come our way to prove us, and hopefully strengthen us in our belief and trust in him. Adam and Eve faced this situation when confronted by temptation. They had walked and talked with God in an ideal environment, without the distractions we face today. Up till then, with all seemingly going well, they were exposed to temptation. They tuned in to a counterfeit spirit being who, as you know, places himself above the Godhead. That's where some of our temptations come from. Anything that we may feel like blaming God for is dispelled, though, in the next verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. We are then reminded how gullible we are when we allow ourselves to be self-propelled in verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The results from that are given us in verse 15. Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. That is how death entered our lineage. If we forget for a moment that God has our best interests at heart, that his love never fails, we, as Adam and Eve did, may trust another being or our own discernment to solve as what we see is a stumbling block. In verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. A dire warning to us all, deception was there in the garden and they followed its fatal path. However, God reminds us in verse 17 the benefits he showers on us. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We can be assured when we face difficult problems that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will supply us with the faith we need, as the seemingly resentless pressure weighs us down. As per Adam and Eve, we have been given perfect gifts to combat stress that is experienced daily. Unfortunately, as they did, when faced by temptation, we focus on the dark side and don't allow the light of God's Spirit to pierce through the gloom. We need to remember that is what is said in verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In and through Jesus Christ, the word of truth, no matter what happens, he will finish the work he started in us and become first fruits in his kingdom. It is essential that we remember that fact no matter what trials come along. Sometimes we lose sight of that, don't we, brethren? Things seem to weigh us down and we become discouraged. It is when humanly generated doubt enters our thinking, we start to diminish our trust and analyze by sight. According to us, nothing seems to be changing as we pray regularly for relief. Thankfully, there's a way forward. We can follow as advised by Apostle James in verses 19 and 20. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We often judge the situation because we want the trial we're going through to pass as quickly as possible. But lessons may need to be learned, and in our anger, we may fail to see what is being shown to us. In verse 19, it stresses, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We need to ask God's help in understanding what he may be saying to us in whatever trial we're going through. Listening to his reasoning before our angry responses blot out his advice given. Once we tune in to what he is trying to teach us, we become doers of the word and not hearers only. That is backed up in what is said in verse 25. But who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. Our part is not to try and analyze while the trial is happening, or to try and influence the outcome, but to accept whatever God will bring about. Let's have a look at some of the challenges facing various biblical characters when going through tests and trials. Abraham, the father of the faithful, whose line Jesus Christ came from, was often tested by God. It's easy to isolate such a person as beyond the pale, but he was someone just like us, facing life's everyday problems. Mostly, his faith and trust in God remained stable. But under pressure from either criticism, or lack of patience, or perhaps self-preservation, his resolve wavered. For a moment, he took his eyes off the one who had promised to bless him. However, we can gain encouragement from his overcoming and spiritual growth. Finally, Abraham and Sarah received their son Isaac that had been promised. But for their continuing growth, more was required of them. God raised the bar for Abraham. There was another hurdle to jump over, to prove his trust and spiritual fitness. Imagine the thoughts that might be crossed his mind when he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. As we know, he faithfully obeyed, was rewarded for his response, not having to slay Isaac. He allowed his mind to grasp the fuller picture of what God had purposed for him and his descendants. Let us read now how God summed up Abraham's obedient response in Genesis 22 and in verse 12. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. It is heartening to realize that we please God in our continuing trust in him, whether we understand fully what we are asked to endure or not, even to the point of death of a loved one. It is shown to us that Abraham's faith had developed to the point where he reasoned that God could resurrect Isaac if needs be. It is therefore essential that our love for God never falls, whatever we are subjected to face. In verse 18, we see how Abraham's continuing trust and love for God during his trials rewarded future generations. Verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. All the nations are blessed through the one seed, Jesus Christ, a reward that is available to all mankind, if our love remains long, loving, and trustworthy, even in our darkest times. We can learn from the prophet Elijah's walk with God. As we know, God worked many miracles through him. He protected him and provided him in times of trial. He was used to differentiate between the false god Baal and the Lord God of Israel as a witness to the people. His love and trust in God allowed God to work through him, even though it seemed all was against him. So let us refer to a well-known incident when he was accused by King Ahab of troubling Israel. In Kings 1:18 and in verses 17 and 18. In Kings 1:18 and verses 17 and 18. We break into the account. This confrontation had been building up because of the animosity between Ahab and Elijah. Verse 17. That it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals." In other words, they had forsaken the true worship of God and chosen to follow false religions. That allowed them to pursue their own ways. Reflective of what Adam and Eve chose to do back in the Garden of Eden. So let's read on in verse 19. Verse 19. "Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." Without reading through the whole account, as we know, Elijah prepared sacrificial animals, laid them on a platform of wood, and invited the false prophets to burn the sacrifice by calling on God, their gods, to ignite it. When nothing happened, he added insult to injury by mocking them. Finally, he had an altar built, laid the petition bowl on it, doused it with water until the water filled the trench prepared, and called fire down from God to consume not only the sacrifice, but the wood, stones and water used. It had the desired effect. The true God was recognized. But in chapter 19, he faced a test of faith. Jezebel, the queen, threatened his life. And momentarily, that love of God and faith in him faded under the strain. His prayer was such that he wanted to die. Let's read that in 1 Kings 19. And in verses 3 and 4. 1 Kings 19 and in verses 3 and 4. "And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed he might die and said, 'It is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's.'" The trial he now faced seemed overwhelming, even though he had seen the power of God in action, vanquishing all the enemies. This is not to criticize Elijah's moment of weakness, but it does illustrate the need to continue to trust God, however hopeless the situation appears. His love for us never fails. Our love for him must remain constant. Once we fall back in living by sight, our hopes crumble. We can take the example of Job. What he suffered was candidly horrific. Everything virtually was taken from him. He was ridiculed by his friends, accusing him of sinning against God, driving him to justify self. Again, momentarily, his love and trust in God wavered. He could see no purpose in his suffering. It has a familiar ring to it, doesn't it? Why does God not understand how this is affecting me and those who are suffering with me? Let's turn to Job 42 and read verses 1 to 6. Job chapter 42 and verses 1 to 6. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do everything, at that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this? Who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen please and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. God's direct confrontation awakened Job's comprehension of his greatness. It did not depend on how Job saw himself in God's sight, but it did depend on how much love and trust Job had in God that faded as his trials progressed. It is interesting to remember that what Job said in verse 3, therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. At times we have difficulty with prayer and can utter things which we do not fully understand. How do we overcome this deficiency in our approach? Let's turn to Romans 8 and in verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As in the case of Job, we need the inner dwelling of God's Holy Spirit to remind us of our human frailties and allow him to structure our prayers so they become acceptable to him and more effective. So in summary then, trials affect us in our daily lives and we pray for what we see should be the solution to the problem. Remember to endure and trust God through those prayers. We may have the temptation to give up in prayer, but remember what is in James 1 in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Don't lose out on blessings. Continue to love and trust him. What we want as an answer may be detrimental to his purpose in our lives. We may feel like blaming God for what is happening, but he is not influenced by evil intent, and in some cases our own desires aggravate the problem. He supplies every good and perfect gift through our comforter, the Holy Spirit, who, if we allow him, will supply us with the faith we need, even in our darkest moments. Remember again, as we are being tested, no matter what happens, he will finish the work he started in us. He is concerned for those that we pray for, and the ultimate result for them will also be according to his will and for their benefit. We have referred to those we may regard as biblical giants and referred to the trials they have endured. They, however, had human weaknesses experienced by all of us. But God dealt with them in different ways, as each had a need. He saw them as future adopted children, and he is the God of the living. They have made it into his kingdom. If we continue to love and trust him, even in the direst trials, he will also welcome us and our loved ones into his kingdom. Thank you. Thank you.